If you want to bring your favorite technical news, give the Gizmo Gang a call. Gizmo Sapiens.
Hey, and welcome to Gizmo Sapiens Show 169, the Monday Marvels. You'll understand as we talk about things why I chose that title. One thing to go over, because I will have another podcast that I will release very soon this week, and you can tell by the time we'll probably release two podcasts this week, mainly because Apple has an event tomorrow on April 20th, and it's kind of curious because, one, they usually have a March event, they also usually have a January event, and we really haven't had any announcements since November when they announced the new Apple M1 sock. So, and the MacBook Pro and the MacBook Air and the Mac Mini that were all named after that, and Apple wants to move to their goal in November was to move their entire product line over to their own processors within a year, within 12 months. And so, you know, you count November, we're like 5 months in with an announcement at the end of April, almost 6 months in. And then, you know, they have WWDC in June, where they probably announce some other hardware products, and then you have, usually in the fall, or right before, again, before Christmas, sometime in December, early December, middle to early November, they will have something where they will make a product announcement. Because that, usually those ones are made when they have product that's readily available to buy within 7 days of their announcement, because they're trying to catch those holiday sales. But sometimes those happen in August or September too, because they're trying to catch the college sales, you know, for all the kids going back to university in particular. But today, everybody needs a device. You know, if you're going to, I guess kids who aren't, who are in elementary school may not need a device, a dedicated device yet, but I mean, my daughter, who's a freshman, well, ending her freshman year in college, when she started middle school or junior high, she needed a device every day, you know, and that, so that's been 6 years ago, you know. But I will say this, in the respect of technology, our school district was very progressive, in the sense that they adopted quickly and were early adopters on those types of things. So I can't speak to the rest of the country, but I would think that most middle schools today are going to need that kind of technology.
Well, I mean, the ones that are actually, you know, meeting.
Yeah. Well, if you're not meeting, you absolutely have to have that technology. So... let's dig into this. I just talked about Apple's event tomorrow. And now you understand where we get the word Marvel. So, one of the things I wanted to talk about right now seems to be, there've been a lot of announcements about television shows, which shows are staying, which shows are going, what are the new shows planned by Paramount Plus, what are the new shows planned by Disney Plus, you know, and all these streaming networks who are now taking over what traditionally was you know, only the real venue of the main, you know, the five main broadcasters, you know, ABC, CBS, NBC, Fox, and Warner Brothers, which is now the CW, since Paramount somehow folded their production into Warner Brothers and they get the word CW. I haven't figured that one out. I know the W stands for Warners, but what's the C? I guess CBS Warner Brothers. But then there was CBS already. I don't know. Whatever. I don't want to go in the history of those things. But we'll start here. It was confirmed. Well, we had talked about in the last episode that MacGyver was canceled.
Yes.
And so that led us to talk about NCIS, since we know that NCIS New Orleans is ending its what, seven season run, five season run, something like that. I think it's seven seasons.
That sounds about right, yeah. But that just...
Let's see, NCIS New Orleans, we will look this up.
Seven is the magic number for...
Yeah, it's season seven is ending on.
Wow.
But, that being said, last week on April 15th, NCIS, who we suspected might be, with the advent of New Orleans ending and them announcing they were going to do NCIS Hawaii, which in some respect does make sense because Pearl Harbor being one of the biggest West Coast naval bases in the country.
Makes a lot more sense than LA.
Yeah, it does. Well, that's the Special Operations Unit. Or sure. Special Projects. With the storyline going on with Gibbs and all of this, we suspected that, you know, season 18, the current season, might be the end. But they renewed that on April 15th last week. So we're going to at least see a season 19. I still scratch my head. Because I finally caught up with New Orleans and regular NCIS. For some reason, I watch LA almost immediately after it airs on my DVR. But
really?
But the other two, I tend to wait for like two or three episodes to queue up, and then I watch. I don't watch like the NCIS and NCIS New Orleans together, but I'll sit there and like watch all three of the NCIS episodes and catch up in one round, and then I'll do the same thing for New Orleans. And so I'm caught up in. And so
for me, it kind of depends on what the story is.
Yeah.
If it's convoluted, I just as soon wait. But if it's episodic, I'll watch it whenever, but...
But, in looking at the storylines, I'm just, you know, I'm kind of sitting there and I'm watching and I'm like, well, the way season 18 for NCIS is going right now, it's like they're winding down the show. You have characters who are saying they want to retire, and then you have Jethro Gibbs, you know, and this thing, like, they've taken his, you know, he's on probation, and he's not allowed to work, and they've taken his badge away, and, you know, it's either a transition, or, it you know, it's like the show, they're wrapping the show up, you know, so that there's some kind of ending for these characters, you know, but it's not set up for season 19 to me. And I hate to say it, but if you took Gibbs and Ducky's replacement out of the show, there is no show. I don't think any of the other characters...
You're talking Palmer?
Yeah, Palmer. I don't think there's any other characters. And Vance. If you took Vance and Gibbs and Palmer out of the show, you're left with Bishop and Fez and McGee, and, you know, Jack seems to be on her way out, which some of the other things that I've were, what is her name? It's her first name.
Maria Bello.
Maria Bello. Some of the things I've seen in, like, Screen Rant and Hollywood Reporter and stuff says she's getting ready to work on some other projects, which kind of makes sense that, okay, if she may not have time to do NCIS anymore. But even if she were still on the show, I don't think those four characters could carry... And the chick who replaced...
Casey?
Yeah. See, a lot of them I don't like.
Oh, Casey's horrible. I can't.
And so I just don't bother to remember their name, their characters' names. But they can't. I don't think they could carry the show, unless the writing got so much better and they developed those characters in such a way. And that's a disappointment for me, since McGee has been with the show since the beginning. And although there's some moments where they developed his character, like he had a great episode this season where he and his wife went on vacation and they ended up, couldn't relax, so they ended up working a case, and that there was some character development there, but not enough for 18 seasons of the show. It's not like DeNozzo. I mean, you could sit there and you knew all kinds of stuff about DeNozzo, and you know they had all these shows like with DeNozzo Senior and all of that. That was phenomenal and kind of built the character out. And then to have him go over and be in Bull, which by the way was also renewed for season 6 last week. And I like the show Bull.
I haven't watched it since about the 3rd season. It's
so what they've done great about the show, even though they've had a little bit of they churn in some characters and stuff, not like NCIS.
Well, I mean, it's hasn't been on for 18 years.
Correct. But you actually know a lot about it. It's much better written than NCIS in the respect of a character-driven show, and you actually learn enough about the characters, all of the characters, that you're invested, you know, with them. And I've right around season 3, I think season 3 they in Bull they had a blip, and then they realized that, and I don't know if that was a showrunner change, a directing change, a writing change, but season 4, 5 and have been excellent. And that's another show that I wait until 3 or 4 episodes pile up on the DVR, and then I'll binge watch them all.
That's one that if it showed up on a streaming service that wasn't like one that I'm not already paying for,
yeah,
I would binge that too. I don't think it's a show that I could watch like every week. I'd have to let those pile up a little bit.
But even like Bishop, they started developing her character out, you know, kind of as a Ziva replacement, not as a love interest, but you know, as a character, and you know, and Jamie Bamber played her husband. And when they wrote Jamie Bamber's character out of the show when they got divorced, they quit writing about her. The only thing they do is this weird relationship that she kind of has with Fez, which is kind of unbelievable. And even Fez as a character on the show is unbelievable in the role that he's in. And they haven't developed him out either. You know, they use the excuse that he was undercover and he's very guarded as a way to not develop his character out, other than, you know.
Which, to me, is the interesting stuff about his character.
Correct.
That should be developed.
Correct. Correct. I totally agree with you. And so, I mean, but going back
One thing aside, though, uh-huh. I can't let this one go. When you talk about DeNozzo and DeNozzo Sr., when you have somebody like Robert Wagner...
Oh, yeah.
That's gravitas. I don't care. Gibbs' dad was Old Man Walton, for crying out loud. Gravitas, yes. Man. You can't bring in... who was Bishop's parents? They were nobody. Buddies, yeah. I mean, literally nobodies.
Well, it's like I said. Jamie Bamber was her husband, and when they were... They were still together, and they were having issues, and all of that. And they developed her character, and then right after she divorced, they had a couple of, because it was like in that next season where they developed, and you met her mom and dad and her brothers, and that was kind of the end of developing her character. That was it. You know, it was no more. Let's you know, why did she become? And so
the other thing that irks me about Bishop is when she became a full fledged agent.
Yeah.
She lost all of her eccentricities. She was no longer sitting on the floor. She no longer... Well, I mean, she still kind of eats, but, like... All of the things that made her different...
And unique.
Is gone. They tried to turn her into the Wish version of Ziva, Americanized.
Yeah.
And that just is not...
I concur.
That doesn't work.
So, but going back to my original point, too, was that, so I watched got caught up in New Orleans, and I got caught up on NCIS. And when I watched Scott Bakula, he is still believable in his role. Now, I'm tired of the storylines in NCIS New Orleans, because they're not nearly... It's like they're stuck in a rut, the writers are, and so the stories are all almost the same. You know, it's either they're battling a white supremacy group, or they're chasing murder of somebody out of Belle Chasse. You know, and so they jump between this multi-story arc of episodes and individual episodes that stand on their own. And I would rather have them have it be one or the other. You know, kind of like classic Star Trek, where all of the episodes could actually stand on their own. And so, you know, I'm not totally sorry to see about. And again, it's another one where I only like half the characters, because they kind of quit developing them. You know, and the characters who were good, like, well, one, they've made the, I think we said this last time, I think in New Orleans, they've made the team too big.
Mm-hmm.
It was better when the team was, you know, Patton and Loretta and Pride and Brody and Chris.
Sebastian.
You know, you had six characters, and now they've got three extra characters, and they're trying to figure out what they're doing. And they could have added a character, like when Chris was still on the show, that relationship he had, City Mouse, Country Mouse, going on.
Mm-hmm.
Having her, that was great. But again, they started developing a character, and by the time that you really were starting to invest in her, they got rid of her. And then, you know, same thing with Chris's character on that show was, Lord, you were so invested in him because they had developed the character out so much.
Well, I mean, he was that show's Dinozo.
Yes, he was.
I mean, let's not kid each other.
And
while we're on the subject of cameos of parents having gravitas, Stacy Keach as Cassius Pride.
Oh, I know.
I mean, again, you can't bring in hack actors.
No.
On this show, and expect them to carry weight.
I totally agree with you. Well, even in L.A., look who is Deeks's mom.
Did I see that episode?
But she's a recurring character in the show. I'll let you look it up.
Okay. Let me look it up.
But, you know, it's... And I would agree with what you said last time, too, about NCIS New Orleans. As much as I like to watch from an eye candy perspective, Corey, her character just has not been developed well, and you're not super invested in her. As a matter of fact, I kind of don't like her right now. I haven't really liked the last three agents they've added to the team at all. Again, if you took Pride and the rest of them away, you wouldn't have a show. And a lot of it's because they haven't developed those characters well enough to really be invested in them. What's the new guy's name? I can never remember his name. Who's, you know, his idiosyncrasy, he wants to be very precise, and, you know, he's a coffee snob and all this. And, you know, his mom was supposed to be the was up to be Secretary of Defense, and she gave that up because, you know, of something he and his brother had done. And so they started developing this character, but they might as well not develop him at all because he's done. You know, the show's ending at the end of the season, and we're more than halfway through the show.
Well, and really, what's the point?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, what I would do is I would actually write him out of the show early and then wrap everything up for the rest of the people. You know? Particularly characters like Sebastian, who they really put a lot of effort in to developing in the show. You know, he was just a lab tech originally, and then, you know,
he was really the Palmer.
Correct.
Of the original cast.
Correct. Well, he was the Polly Peretti character. He was the one who was doing all of the...
That's not what I mean.
Yeah.
I mean, he wasn't supposed to be...
A main character.
A main character.
Correct. They took him and developed him over the course of 7 seasons to... And now that you like him, it's like, we're shutting the show down. But, you know, the other thing is it's not like all of these characters go away either. They could show up in cameos in the new show, in NCIS, in LA, you know. So going back to another thing we talked about, because we talked about you hadn't watched the new Magnum PI, which I enjoy, but not as much as I enjoyed MacGyver. And but Magnum got renewed for season 4. But we know that Magnum is in the same universe as Hawaii 5-0, because there's crossovers that have already happened in the new Magnum and Hawaii 5-0. And Hawaii 5-0, we know, crossed over with NCIS LA in several episodes. So I'm thinking that what we're going to see is Magnum, you know, because he's an ex-Navy SEAL, and his crew are all ex-military anyway. I think we're going to see them cross over with this new NCIS Hawaii.
I'm not seeing her in this cast list. I'm already down to, like, people who are in 2 episodes.
She's not, I will say this, she is not as well-known as, like, Stacey Keach or Robert Wagner. Oops, wrong app. But you would recognize her. She's like Gene Hackman. She's been in a million TV shows and a million movies as a character. Sometimes, Granger. So Pamela Reed, she plays Mama Deeks, or Roberta Deeks.
I just found her.
But she has been, she's been in tons of movies. She was in Junior with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Danny DeVito. She was in The Right Stuff. She was in Kindergarten Cop.
She does look familiar.
You know, she's been in a ton of stuff. Like I said, she's not a recognizable name in... probably who you know her best as is she was Marlene Knope in Parks and Recreation. So she was Leslie Knope's mother, who was the judge.
She was in Jericho. That's where I recognized her from. Yes, she was in Jericho. With Gerald McCraney.
Yep. So, you know, she may not have the recognition of a Robert Wagner or a Stacey Keach, but she has acting chops and, you know, plays a believable character. Which you haven't seen in NCIS. And I think NCIS is suffering from the same thing that New Orleans suffered, is they kept adding characters And they really needed to keep it small.
Well, they're trying to find something that'll stick.
Yeah.
I mean, you can lose Ziva. You can lose Abby. When you lose Danozo, I'm going to disagree with you on Vance. You can lose Vance.
You could lose Vance, but as the show is in season 18, if you lose Vance and you lost Gibbs and you lost Palmer, you would have no show. You might have a show with Vance. Because
I don't see Palmer leaving unless the show was over.
Probably not.
If they brought in a new high-caliber name actor to lead the team, you might be able to lose Gibbs.
Yeah, possibly. And you know, the thing you have to remember is Mark Harmon is the executive producer on all the NCIS shows. So, I don't think Gibbs is going away permanently, but I think they could do a Ducky type of thing to the Gibbs character.
Sure.
Where he's moved up as, you know,
assistant director for Growls and Rules.
Yeah, exactly. Something like that. But you know what I'm saying. You know, move him up to where his role is not part of the day-to-day, but he might show up in the episode like Vance does, you know.
Well, hell, why not just retire him to Hawaii where he can do a cameo.
And that may
As an assistant director or something. Yeah. I mean, it's, they don't have to kill the character off, which is what they've tried to do a lot.
I don't think they're going to kill his character off, because again,
they really can't.
Mark Carman is an executive producer on the show. But I can see them, you know, with the storyline going right now where they've, you know, they're going to pull him out of the field. Well, what do you do? Because
he's... Although Gibbs has always said he never wanted a desk job. So it's kind of hard to do anything else with him.
It is.
Unless they made him, like, head of, like, Fletsy.
Yeah.
You know? Get him to train agents.
True. Well, they could try to do like they did with Dwayne and make him like the sack. You know, and then bring him in because he needs to be involved or something, you know, as a periodic character. I mean, I think there are some places they could go with that. But I think it needs to happen. It's just, it's becoming less and less believable, in my opinion.
It would be more believable if they would train Fez Torres up to be the total badass he was
supposed to be
billed as. But I've seen no evidence of that.
No. Well, and, you know, the other thing they did in the last episode, is the night shift team who became the day shift team. And, you know, that's another two characters, you know, you could bring one of them in and, you know, develop them out a little bit more.
Just commit.
Yeah.
Just commit. That's all I'm asking. Commit. And then develop these characters.
Yeah. You know,
quite frankly, give
McGee the Eric treatment. You know, some tech company comes along and makes him a job offer he can't refuse. You know, and it's different now because he's married and has kids. And, you know, he needs to think about them. And so you can move McGee off the show and bring somebody else, bring a strong character in. But again, the writing has to be there to support it. Because again, McGee's been on the show for 19 years. and they've barely developed it.
Well, and let's not forget, though, he was a recurring character in the first season.
And then a permanent character in the second. But even, you know, the thing is part of the whole Dinozzo, part of McGee's character development depended on Dinozzo.
Yes.
You know, it was that
senior agent slash probie relationship that you see every time that a character comes on that has that kind of relationship with one of the characters, be it Mike Franks and Gibbs, or I mean, hell, even Vance and Gibbs and Franks have all kind of worked together before.
Well, let's put it this way. How many ex-wives does Gibbs have? We know more about all the ex-wives than we do about McGee.
I don't know if I'd go that far, but pretty close.
Yeah. I mean, Dinozzo, we knew everything. You literally, before he left the show, you pretty much knew his entire backstory. If you'd been watching the season, or the show, you know, he's before he was an NCIS agent, he was a Baltimore cop. And they did tie-in stories with that, you know, where he had to go back to the Baltimore police and get police reports to check some things, and, you know, and everybody was making fun of him, and it was pretty funny.
Yeah,
you know?
It was. One of the better episodes, I thought.
You know, they brought in his dad. And, you know, and that wasn't like they brought him in. Dinozzo Sr. was, like, part of second season on. It wasn't until...
Yeah, it was pretty late.
It was pretty late in Dinozzo's part, you know. I don't know. When Dinozzo left, he should have been replaced by... I hate to say it. Not somebody who's... or a character who was exactly like Dinozzo, but a character who had... that they were going to develop with a backstory and had idiosyncrasies and all this stuff, who was a strong lead. It didn't have to be matter if it was male, female, whatever, just a strong lead. There needed to be a second strong lead. And you know, the whole, when they brought in Torres, and then they had that thing where they had the female agent too, and they were both on the team for like a season and a half, and then they decided to get rid of the female agent. And that, because that was definitely a we're writing that character out system. And then they brought in Jack to kind of replace her, but they were like, well, we're going to put Jack up here. She's our profiler, you know? And it's like, but they never let Jack profile Jack. And yes, that was intentional. So, okay, let's move on from that stuff, because there's some other exciting things going on. So, there have been some leaked set photos from the new Obi-Wan series.
Really? I haven't seen those yet.
Yeah, so the photos clearly show what looks to be the moisture farm that...
Oh, I did see that. I take that back.
So it seems that we're going to... A good part of the show is going to be on...
Tatooine.
I was kind of hoping not. I would really like to see the Obi-Wan origin story that gets you to the point, you know, where...
Well, he's kind of old to be doing that.
Yeah, that's true. He is. So, we're going to get the story after he puts Luke with
Owen
Lars
and
Owen, or...
Yeah, Uncle Owen and Aunt Beru.
Lars, bleh. Can't talk today. And I guess that's okay, but I think that's probably the least interesting point. But maybe, you know, I don't know. It's gonna suck if it's all on
Tatooine. On Tatooine. The one planet we know probably more about than we ever wanted to know.
Yeah. Maybe they'll have lots of flashbacks. You know.
To what? I mean, to what?
I would rather it be live action, and we get some intrigue and stuff. But even though they covered it in the Clone Wars, you know, with Satine and Obi-Wan, and that was interesting. But it is what it is. Disney's going to make a show about everything anyway. And that brings me to my next thing. So, the Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Now, I haven't watched the last episode yet. But the show is essentially it's essentially they're using it as a way to introduce a whole bunch of other storylines into the MCU so that they can have lots of other shows about these other storylines. And so this has a little spoilers in it, but not much. But like Elijah Bradley in the Young Avengers is I guess with episode 6 that I haven't watched.
6 isn't out yet. 5 is the current episode.
Well, I guess 6 and some of these are already in the Marvel schedule, and this is how they're introducing them.
Right.
But Elijah Bradley and the Young Avengers, a Wakanda series, we've already got that tie-in. V for Valentina, so Val was a former S.H.I.E.L.D. agent and an ex-girlfriend of Nick Fury and a Hydra sleeper.
Yeah, now, that's an interesting casting choice. Julia Dreyfus is...
I know.
Interesting casting choice for that.
It is. Well, evidently, she's supposed to be in the Black Widow movie, and that's how she was supposed to be introduced.
Right.
But it sounds like we're also going to see her in Falcon and the Winter Soldier.
And we have. In 5.
Okay, well, I haven't seen it yet, so...
She makes her appearance.
Yeah. Well, and then also, we have all the adventures in Madripoor. I guess we're going to see Madripoor a lot more in the MCU, which we've already seen in Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Isaiah Bradley... and the Lost Soldiers are supposed to be part of that. The Secret Invasion by the Skrull. That's also part of the Young Avengers story.
That's the one that I think will be super interesting.
And there's a show in the works.
Right.
And then the Power Broker.
Which I'm waiting for the big reveal that we all already see coming.
Yeah. And then, you know, we've also, from the first episode, when they had the Smithsonian and they're announcing the new Captain America, we're supposed to have the Armor Wars stories with James Rhodes, so Colonel Rhodes. Rhodey, as Tony Stark calls him. And that's also supposed to possibly...
wasn't that one supposed to be animated?
I don't know if that one is or not. Don Cheadle's part of the show. I don't know that Don Cheadle wouldn't want to do it live action.
I don't know. He's kind of getting up there in age, too.
He is. I mean... And then... there's also talk of a new Falcon.
Yeah, and I think we've already met him.
Yeah, Joaquin Torres.
Yeah.
Yep. And then, of course, we have John Walker and Lamar Hoskins, you know, U.S. agent. And not quite sure what they'll call Hoskins.
They're going to call him Dead.
I don't know. It sounds like he's going to be in the show longer than season 1.
The black guy sidekick?
Yeah.
Don't believe that hype.
I mean, he is a chief master sergeant.
I'll give you that, but
you know,
don't believe that hype. That's all I'm going to say about that.
And then, you know, on top of that, with season two of WandaVision, you know, they've created a new... They resuscitated Vision, and now he's the White Vision. And that sounds like what they're coming back, and there's probably... There's talk of crossovers between that the White Vision character and some of these other shows, including Falcon and the Winter Soldier. Which would actually make sense for a Vision show if that's how they're going to bring it through, because they're also talking about that.
I have a hard time with WandaVision Season 2.
I do too. I mean, if that were what they were calling the MCU, I would cancel my Disney Plus. I did cancel my Disney Plus subscription. I'm watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier on somebody else's subscription.
Gotcha.
Because I was like, there's nothing on Disney worthwhile at the moment. Why am I paying for this? Which brings us, actually, all the way around to Warner Brothers, which is HBO Max, which I do pay for. And so, you know, there was a talk of a Gotham PD spinoff series. And that evidently is going to happen on HBO Max, which I loved Gotham.
That was a great show.
That was a great show. And Matt Reeves, who's the Batman director, the latest Batman director, who was decent, is going to be involved with the show as well. And Joe Barton, who is also part of all of this Zack Snyder, you know, new DC Universe stuff going on, is also the showrunner for this show.
Okay.
So, there's not much about it. Really, there's no casting announcements or anything. It's just that they've got the go-ahead to go do it. And they do know that there's going to be a comparison to the Fox show of Gotham. But...
win some, lose some.
Mm-hmm. That's kind of like the Sony Spider-Man versus the MCU Spider-Man. And the fact that Sony kept rebooting Spider-Man. I mean, how many...
That was why when they brought him into the MCU, I was like, the last thing we need is an origin story. He gets bit by a spider. Yay. We've seen this 1,000 times already. We know who he is. Let's just do it.
Yep. Yeah, true. So, outside of shows, another big thing is so the latest, I love Windows 10 and I love reading the news about it because it's never good. It's always a train wreck. So the latest Windows 10 update is causing install and performance issues. I haven't installed it on any of my Windows 10 machines, so I'm not overly concerned. But the what's funny is, I guess if you uninstall the latest update, it fixes most of the issues.
Naturally.
That's always been my problem with Microsoft. I mean, they really have not made a good version of Windows, in my opinion, since Windows 2000. Windows 2000 was so... It had all the things that were actually good out of Windows NT. Stability. You know, it just... It ran, and it ran well. You know, you never had to reboot your Windows NT box. And Windows 2000 Professional was the same way. But then it had automated updates... and it had plug-and-play hardware, you know, and stuff. And then they came out with XP, which should have been Windows 2000 Part 2. And they introduced all this crap. you know, you'd plug something in and it was 50-50 shot you were going to blue screen. And it's been that way since, with
ever since.
And, you know, Windows 10 is... There's two things going on at Microsoft that just don't make sense. They keep wanting to change the look and feel of Windows. Okay? I think we learned within Windows 8...
They think that the look is what the problem is. And it's not the problem.
Stability.
Yes.
It's the only operating system I run. Because I run... Obviously, my main machines are always Mac and Linux machines, but I do have... I have at least 3 or 4 Windows machines. And they're the ones that when Windows updates come up, I go, do I really want to install this? And, you know, and because... And I'm not saying it's perfect on any operating system, but I would say that 0.01% of the time that there's a big issue on Mac OS X, or I should say Mac OS 11 at this time, Mac OS, or whatever the current version of Linux is, are very small, because Apple as a company does a great job regression testing stuff. The Linux community does a great job regression testing stuff. And it's like Microsoft with Windows doesn't do any regression testing at all. You know, and it also...
While promising the world.
Correct. And it's gotten to the point that, like, on my Windows machines, I typically... There's very few things that I run that are not manufactured by Microsoft on those machines. I'll run Office... I do have a few utilities that I know are safe, like CDXP Burner and some of those things, Handbrake, that, you know, I need, but a lot of those are open source and they do a good job of testing. But I'm afraid to install Windows updates. And I can't imagine being, I will say this about Microsoft, if you are a Windows admin, particularly for a corporation, whether it's medium or big, you've got it has to be a pretty good gig, because you know that Windows is going to cause problems that's going to require your presence. They're never going to shrink the IT department, you know, because of Windows. But then you're chasing down stuff you shouldn't have to worry about. And this is why you get issues, why people don't want to apply all the patches to their Microsoft Exchange servers, which then have zero-day exploits that get exploited, you know, because nobody can trust Microsoft to, you know, patch things right and patch them in a timely manner.
Which is why they made it so difficult to turn off automatic updates.
I know.
Yet... still can't get their act together.
Even a larger issue within Windows and the registry, which modern Windows still has, is a totally antiquated way of managing, turning on and off services, registering drivers to the system, all of that. Modern Unix operating systems, which Mac OS and Linux fall into, every service has its own config file. So if a single service has a zero-day update or zero-day vulnerability, it only affects a single service. When you have a single service on Windows that has a vulnerability, all of a sudden... because all of it's in and registered into the registry, which is a big flat file database, which gets loaded into memory, and somebody goes into that registry and then they can start writing into it, it corrupts the whole system, you know, and so then removing things becomes incredibly hard. And it's a flat file database that does not shrink. You cannot compress it. You know, if you delete data out of it, there's no way to compress it back down. So what happens? So, you know, there are a lot of people who like to go and they'll install software and then they'll go, I don't like it. And they'll uninstall it and they'll install. All of it leaves remnants that you can't clean out of your registry. Well, guess what? Your registry grows. You need more memory in your computer. It's been a problem that's existed since Windows 3. So why haven't they fixed it? Well, they say backwards compatibility. But the reality of it is, they don't care about backwards compatibility. Hence, your Avid
Who's Avid Studio?
Avid Studio,
yeah,
would have worked with Windows 10 without you having to have bought an entirely new version. You know?
Yeah, I don't buy that. I don't buy that argument from them. For that very reason.
And the other thing that I cannot figure out with Windows is, because I had to, my mother-in-law has a laptop that was given to her by my brother-in-law, and they loaded Linux on it, which is fine, but she needed something that you specifically had to have Windows. And so I put Windows 10 on it, and everything, and why does the 32-bit version of Windows 10 only address 4 gig of memory? Because the 32-bit version of Linux and the 32-bit version of Mac OS 10 can address more than 4 gigs of memory. Again, another developer development decision that does not make sense, you know, and you know, and because of backwards compatibility, Microsoft hasn't drawn that line in the sand either to say that, hey, we're going to get rid of 32-bit applications.
Yes and no. I mean, they tried.
There is no try.
But I think the problem that Microsoft runs into is because they're the majority OS for the business community, you have so many folks that are entrenched in legacy software that won't give it up.
I agree. That is one of the issues that you have. I mean, hence why you can still, if you're a big enough company, still get support for Windows 7.
Which I think is great.
But then that goes back to the thing, you know, that Microsoft does make some things well. Microsoft Office is a fairly decent suite of products. Microsoft SQL Server is actually one of my favorite SQL databases in the world. And they make a Linux version of it, too. Microsoft Exchange is a decent product. But Microsoft should be out of the operating system game, and they should be writing these things to go on other people's OSs, people who do it a lot better. And frankly, I thought after they created SQL Server for Linux that they would follow suit with Exchange, because the basis of Exchange is Microsoft SQL Server. It does not really require Windows underneath it. And, you know, transition at least, because that's where they're losing. Microsoft Windows Server is not the predominant server providing services on the internet. That's Linux. That's why Apple got out of making Mac OS X Server, was because they were competing against another Unix operating system that they were fully integrated with anyway. Yeah. And it's like, why are we, you know, eking out a half of a percentage point of product, you know? And the only reason Microsoft Windows Server exists right now is mainly for Exchange deployments. Exchange and SharePoint. Two things that require Microsoft SQL Server, which they've built, and the Linux version has feature parity with the Windows version. As a matter of fact, the Windows version, wish it had feature parity with the Linux version, because the Linux version can address a lot more memory, have bigger table spaces. I mean, it just... Why not go that way? You know, the Xbox is decent. But, again, does the Xbox really need to run on a light version of Windows? No. So, I don't know. Microsoft to me is I don't believe they're going to go away anytime soon, but they're an enigma of a company, and for everything that they try to do better, like, so I attended the Microsoft Ignite conference. It was all virtual, you know, like they all are this year. And the whole first day, and most of the second day, and most of the third day, it was all about HoloLens. And they showed and demoed some stuff that I thought was really cool with the HoloLens, which is their virtual reality and augmented reality system. And none of the virtual reality stuff was impressive, you know. And they tried to play that up on the first day. But the augmented reality stuff was interesting. The stuff that I thought was interesting. So they showed a demo where this factory, where they do tool and die and CNC machining and all this stuff. Automated CNC machining. A supervisor was training another employee, and they both had HoloLenses on it. And so, as the supervisor is talking about, well, here's how you do this, and you know, in this process, you need to do this next thing. And on the HoloLens, the augmented reality would actually highlight that what he was talking about on the machine that they're standing in front of. And you know, it was there to act to, you know, until the employee got to the point where they knew how to do that from memory, you know, without asking. And so you didn't have to waste another person's time standing there for a week or two or whatever to supervise this. That, I thought, was a good application for this. Now, the HoloLens hat is totally ridiculous, you know, particularly when there are other companies like Google and Apple who are talking about augmented reality, and they're more like a pair of eyeglasses, and the Microsoft unit was like a helmet, you know, that fully covered your face.
Well, leave it to Microsoft to come to the game late and pretend like they're innovators.
Well, the funny thing is I was joking with a buddy of mine this weekend, who works for Microsoft. And I said, are you doing all your Teams meetings via HoloLens? And he goes, what are you talking about? He's a developer for Microsoft, okay? And I said, well, at the Ignite conference, that's what they were saying. You guys all have HoloLenses and you participate in, you know, your Teams meetings like you're really there. He goes, yeah, they don't give much swag out at Microsoft. I thought that shocking. That was very humorous. So, well, I think we'll leave it on that. We want to hear from you, our listeners, so please send us some feedback to gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. And we will see you on the digital flip side.
To Gizmo Sapiens, a technology and entertainment podcast. You can reach us at our email address at gizmosapiens@gmail.com. That's gizmosapiens@gmail.com. We'd really love to hear from you, and we'll see you next week from the digital flip side.